I don't know if you've ever heard of William Carey. I'm very sure that our brother Joshy and Grace would have heard of William Carey. Now, William Carey is often called the father of modern missions. He dedicated his life to the spreading of the gospel in the country of India. He served there as a missionary from 1793 to 1834. Although he had very little education, Carey was a gifted linguist, and he learned dozens of languages and dialects. Really astounding. His goal was to translate the scriptures into as many as possible languages and dialects in India. Now, in order to achieve this goal, they set up a printing press in the city of Serampore, from where he did his Bible translational work. In 1812, he was away teaching in Kolkata. While he was gone, a fire broke out in the printing press. Carey lost his entire library, all his dictionaries, his grammar books, and 10 translations of the scriptures. When he returned to Serampore and surveyed the tragedy, he wept. And he said, "In one short evening, the labors of years are consumed. How unsearchable are the ways of God." I had lately thought, he said, that I'd brought my work up to perfect completion. And perhaps I had become too self-congratulating. The Lord has laid me low so that I may look more simply to Him. Although he was heartbroken, he didn't take much time to feel sorry for himself. He said, "The loss is heavy, but as traveling a road for the second time is often easier than the first time, I trust that none of the good work that was lost will not be replaced with even greater value. We are downcast, but we are not in despair." And Carey resolved to trust in God. And he said that from these ashes can come better Bible translation. Remarkable. Little did Carey know that the fire would bring such a response in England, the United States, and also in India, that in 50 days, money was collected to pay for the rebuilding of the printing press. So by the year 1832, Carey had rebuilt and expanded the whole printing operation and published complete and partial Bible translations in 44 languages and dialects in India. William Carey trusted God in the face of opposition, obstacles, trials, and many setbacks. We find ourselves at the start of a new year. What will the new year bring for us? And how will we approach things? Well, as Christians, it's always good to ask ourselves the question, the very basic question, what does God say? How does God want us to approach the new year? And in Psalm 62 and verse 8a, it gives us the answer. Very simply stating, trust in God at all times, O people. Trusting God is an essential part of true and saving faith. There's no way around it. Because trusting God looks to Him to provide all the answers and the guidance, the help, the strength, and the blessing, the peace, and the contentment that we need. We are called to trust in God like William Carey did. And we are commanded to trust in God at all times. Trusting God is one of those truths that we think we understand until we are required to put it into practice. Then we discover, don't we, that there is often more to it than we realized. Why? Well, firstly, if a person believes that God exists, but they do not fully trust in Him, sadly, their faith, the Bible tells us, is nothing more than the faith that the demons have. That's shocking. Also, secondly, trusting God can be very difficult at times, especially if we do not know at the time what God is busy doing and accomplishing. And thirdly, trusting God can easily be undermined when we receive counsel and pressure to trust in other things rather than in God Himself, which may appear very appealing to us at the time. The message of Psalm 62 is to trust in God at all times. That phrase, at all times, can mean all the time, or completely, or totally, or trusting in God alone, as indicated in verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. David trusted in God alone. Why? In verses 3 and 4, he tells us why. How long will you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. David was surrounded by enemies, and they were treating him like he was a leaning, tottering wall about to fall over. His enemies threatened him. They attacked him. They deceived him. In fact, some even wanted to kill him. David was a God-fearing man, King David. But most of his life consisted in facing trials, opposition, and hardship. When he was at the tender age of 15, he was persecuted by King Saul. This continued for about a period of 10 years. Although David was loyal to him, he became envious of David because David's popularity rose after he had killed the giant Goliath. And so Saul's jealousy continued to grow toward David. And he made it his mission in life to destroy him. And then later on in David's life, sadly, after he became king, and you may be well aware of this, he fell into the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And the consequences of this sin and the events that followed this haunted him for the rest of his life. First, there was the death of Uriah, for which he was personally responsible. And then the consequences of the child that was conceived out of that adulterous relationship die. 2 years later, his son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar, his half-sister. Not long after that, Tamar's full brother Absalom killed Amnon for his deeds. And then Absalom fled from the presence of David for 5 years. And then Absalom tried to grab hold of the throne of David, causing David to flee Jerusalem. And that went on for about 4 years. This rebellion of Absalom ended in his own death in a battle against David when his commander Joab killed Absalom. After Absalom's death, Adonijah, David's other sons, also sought to seize the throne himself. Further, David had often fought in wars almost constantly throughout his whole life against the Philistines, the Moabites, the Edomites, and often had to deal with falsehood and scorn throughout his life. He said, "It felt like I was a tottering fence, ready to fall over." He needed to trust in God. There was no doubt about that. In fact, he says to us in verses 9 and 10, "Don't put your trust in man or in anything other than God." Look at verses 9 and 10. "Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are altogether lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them." Men of low degree, we can translate it, are just a vapor. And men of high degree, an illusion. Isn't that literally true? Man is but a breath. Remove man's breath and they die. And great people are an illusion. They aren't great in the sense of being perfect. Perfect people don't exist. The point is that humans are quite unreliable. The Bible constantly warns us not to put our trust in other people. Thus says the Lord. For example, in Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, "Cursed is the man who makes man his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." And you've got to love this text, Proverbs 25 verse 19. "Trusting in a treacherous man in trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot that slips." Children, you know, don't you? No one will put their confidence into a rotten tooth. No, we'll get the dentist to pull the tooth. And we know that our feet will slip if we are on slippery ground, and we will fall. These things are obvious. Similarly, it should be clear to us that we should not put our trust in other people. It's not only trusting in man that we are warned against. We also should not, David says, set our hearts on riches or oppression or stolen goods. Well, most of us won't want to do that. That's good. But there are other things that we also shouldn't put our trust in. Don't trust in false religion, the Bible teaches us. Don't trust in beauty. Don't trust in your own strength. And don't trust in your own mind. These things all really amount to trusting in ourselves. And that's really the classic human sin, is that people trust in themselves rather than trusting in God. David gives us good reasons to trust in God alone. Verse 1, he says, "From Him comes my salvation." In verse 2, he adds, "And God is my rock, my fortress." And in verse 7, he adds, "God is my glory and my refuge." No created thing can offer these things to us. That's why David says in verse 5, "My hope is in God. In Him alone I find these things." That was David's outlook in life, living life and knowing God. His heart and his mouth is saying to us, trust in God at all times. Now David wrote this psalm, I don't know if you noticed that, in the heading of the psalm, to Jeduthun, or the chief musician, depending on the translation that you have. Now Jeduthun was the director of music, singing in the house of God. So David gave this psalm to the man who was responsible for public worship. And in doing this, David made the psalm public property. It pleased God that this psalm should be public property of every generation. And it is given to us as well, to trust in the Lord alone at all times. Did you notice that David said that his soul waits in silence for God alone? He says it twice, in verses 1 and then again in verse 5. David is waiting in silence for God. And he is not busy in the back of his mind to trust in other things. We can all learn from David, because we can easily find ourselves actually trusting in other things, like our experience, worldly wisdom, pragmatism, riches, or the professionals, to bring us relief and to help us to cope. Now, the point is not that these things cannot help, but we should make sure that we make God our ultimate trust. That's the point. What happens if somebody is trusting God on the one hand and then also trusting something else? Now, James Montgomery Boyce explains it this way. He says, it's like having one foot on a solid foundation and another foot on an object that is unstable and is moving away from the foundation. Now you can see what's going to happen. We're going to fall. Kids, have you ever tried to do that? Just put one foot on something stable and another foot on something that's moving. One moment trusting in God and the next moment trusting in something else. It's never going to work. David did not make that mistake. He learned that if he was going to trust in God, he should put all his trust in God. And when he put his trust in God, he found God to be a rock, to be his salvation, and to be his fortress. And fixed on that rock, David knew that he would never be shaken. Think about it. There's nothing like trusting God as having our only care, and then no other care than to obey Him. What a recipe for living a carefree life. Charles Spurgeon tells the story of a poor pastor. He said, "I know a man who lives on 3 shillings and 6 pence a week." That was about half of what a common laborer would earn in a week. "He has nothing but a parish allowance and the charity of his friends." Poor man. But he says, "In sickness and in need, God will provide. If my Father knows that I need anything, he will give it to me. And if you hint at him that his parish allowance will be taken away, he just smiles. And he says, well, if God doesn't provide it in one way, he will provide it in another way." Isn't that what our Savior teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, saying to us, "Do not worry about the day of tomorrow, about what you would eat and what you would drink or what you would wear. Over these things the unbelievers worry. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things even before you ask. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the promise, and all these things will be added to you." Now, some may say it is wishful thinking to imagine that God will guide and provide in all these ordinary things of life for us. Yes, it would be wishful thinking to some people, but it wasn't for David. He said, "My soul waits on God alone." Come to think of it, it is wishful thinking to think that we don't need God's guidance and help. Practically, how should we trust God? Well, let me make some suggestions. Firstly, by going by the clear teachings of God's Word. David reminded himself that God is a rock, God is his salvation, and God is a fortress. And therefore, his soul is safe and his life is secure. So why don't we do the same thing? Let us remind ourselves of who God is and then obey him as our Lord, knowing that he knows best what it is that we need. But secondly, let us learn to wait on God when he delays, or when it seems like God is not fulfilling his promises. Let us wait on God. David patiently waited on God to act. Let us follow through on trusting in God. Let us trust God from beginning to end. Sometimes it takes time. Let us not become impatient. But thirdly, let us also resist the temptation to take matters into our own hands. The psalmist telling us, don't put your trust in man or in any created thing, let alone in violence, manipulation, in money, or any other sinful thing. Remember, the psalmist is saying, we will give an account to God of all that we have done. So let us not take matters into our own hands, but trust God. Fourthly, let us not become anxious or afraid, but rather pour out our hearts before God. And let us leave matters with him. Let us leave matters with him. He will work things out in his way and his time. He has got it covered for us. In the fifth place, let us act in faith. Let us live by faith and not by sight. Why? Have a look with me. Verses 11 and 12, what David has to say to encourage us to live by faith and not by sight. David says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard it. That power belongs to God, and to the Lord belongs steadfast love." Power belongs to God, and to the Lord belongs steadfast love. Now, if God had power, but he lacked love, then he would be able to save us, but he would have no inclination to do so. On the other hand, if God was loving, but he lacked power, then God would have had the desire to save us, but no ability whatsoever to do it. But fortunately, and praise God, he has both power and loyal love. Therefore, you and I have every good reason to trust God every day of 2025. In closing, coming back to William Carey, he trusted God in the face of opposition, obstacles, setbacks, and many trials, serving as a missionary and a Bible translator to the people of India for 41 years. He lost his first wife. He lost 4 of his 7 children dying in infancy. He waited for 6 years until the first person came to faith in Christ. At times, he was very lonely. And at times, he was slandered. He never saw his homeland again. Before he left India, he preached a famous sermon in which he said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." What a great statement of trusting in God. In God's promises and God's instructions, to attempt great things for God is to do what God has commanded. To expect great things from God is to keep trusting God in the fulfillment of his promises. Carey trusted in God all the time. That's how we lived, and that's how we pledged to live, facing probably more difficulties and hardships that any of us will have to face. And that's also the way that David lived. As we go into the new year, let us take these words of David and also William Carey to heart. We know there will be good times. There may also be hard times. How will we face them? Well, let us trust in God at all times. Let us expect great things from God, and let us attempt great things for God. Let us not hold back in our relationship, especially not our relationship with God and our service to God and to one another. Let us not hold back. Our enemies are mighty, whoever and whatever they may be, but God is almighty. Our troubles are grievous, but God is greater than our troubles. He will deliver us. Perhaps you've never trusted in God before. What should you do? Well, Jesse read for us from Romans chapter 8 earlier in the service. And there in verse 37 through to 39, the Apostle Paul writes these words. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither life nor death, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you notice towards the end of that section, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? It is in Jesus that you will be able to conquer. It is also in Jesus that nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Not your sin, not your enemies, not your troubles. Nothing. So, if you've never done it before, trust in Jesus. It's a good time to start doing that at the start of a new year. Trust in Jesus and trust in God. That's really one and the same thing. So, start trusting in Jesus and God and stay trusting. That's the essential element of a true and a saving faith. That's the Christian life from beginning to end. Now, when trouble comes, the first thing that lots of people would do is they would go and knock on the door of a friend. If you are that friend and somebody is asking you for advice, what are you going to tell them? Direct them to God. Tell them to trust in God in the first instance. And keep on doing that rather than worldly wisdom. David begins the psalm with these words, "My soul waits for God alone." What is David doing here? David is preaching to himself. He says to himself, "Soul, I preach to you." He's addressing himself and he's reminding himself, encouraging himself to trust in God at all times. You and I can also do that. You can preach to yourself. When you face challenges, when you face opportunities, say to yourself, "Soul, trust in God." Don't be passive. Don't be paralyzed. Stir yourself up. Learn to do it. But trust in God because He is your deliverance and your salvation and mine. There's this saying of a poet that goes something like this. The poet said to the man who stood at the gate of the new year, "Give me light that I may tread safely into the unknown." Then the man replied, "Go into the dark and put your hand in the hand of God." That means trust in God. "That shall be to you better than the light and safer than a known way." Let us trust in God. May God bless us this year. We're going to need to trust in Him.